Welcome to Coach, the professional coaching podcast. Conversations to explore what coaching is really all about, what it takes to be a great coach, and why coach training really does make the difference. Discover how coaching can help you in all areas of your life and business in a fast-paced and demanding world. So join us here to share conversations and insights with some of the best coaches from around the globe. Real coaches, real talk. So let's get started with me, your host, Teresa Brooks. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Coach podcast. And I hope you're enjoying the podcast with me, your host, Teresa Brooks. And as you know, I help women to improve their businesses, transform their mindset, and really get over the blocks that stop them selling and achieving in their business. But also, I founded Coach Magazine and Podcast because I'm super passionate about the coaching industry, not least making sure that the coach training is promoted, that we can all integrate and connect with each other and really support the industry, even though it is highly unregulated. And today I have got with me a wonderful lady who I was introduced to by somebody that I love a lot. She loves a lot, Cros Crosley, who I've worked with around mindset and known him for a long time. Fabulous person, also been on this podcast. And he introduced me to the lovely Sonia Morton Firth. So welcome today. I'm going to tell the listeners a little bit about you in a minute, but just to say hello and thanks for being on the show.
Hello, Teresa. And thank you for having me on the show. It's always been nice being the other side rather than doing the interviewing. So thank you so much. And yes, a big thank you to Uncle Cros for putting us into connection with each other.
Isn't he lovely? He was like, you've got to speak to Sonia. Absolutely. You have to connect. And I'm so glad we did, because last week we spent, over an hour talking. And we said, let's do this conversation on the podcast. So who is Sonia? Sonia is a leader, entrepreneur, property investor, mind and body coach, and bikini athlete. And I have not had one of those on the show yet. So this is going to be fun to find out what this is all about, because that's quite a mix of talents you've got there, Sonia.
It is a bit of a mix of talents, isn't it? And when I've been doing my LinkedIn and various other things, you look at all these labels, don't you, that people put on you, and actually labels that you put on yourself. And up until, I would say, at least 10 years ago, when I've been through various different transformations over the years, most of my life, none of those labels applied. I labeled myself, and I think other people would have labeled me as the typical successful career woman, very driven, very ambitious, working in a man's world. So to sort of step out of that and to think, wow, who am I now, was quite something. And it's interesting when you hear, you know, people describe yourself as you're this, and it's lovely actually to have different sides, because we're all multifaceted. And I think too many times we're quite fixated on this one label that we've called ourselves.
It's interesting, because when the platforms that be give you 130 characters to describe who you are, what you do, it does tend to become quite tight in the mind of, you know, what you do. But also that's very important, isn't it? But it's an unusual aspect, and something that when you've come out of corporate, you were sort of told what you do. This is your job title. This is what you do. Never even thought about it. And I came from a similar background to you. And so you're right, coming into this world and almost recreating yourself, discovering who you really, really are, is something that a lot of people do, men and women. And that can be a difficult part. It can take time. And as you evolve, you change it, change the bio, update it. And I think that's absolutely fine to be flexible, because we're not just one thing, are we, of course? And you alluded there to different kinds of energies. So let's talk about what you did in corporate, first of all, when that was.
So I spent, Teresa, around about now, and it sounds like an awful long time, but about 20 years as a sales executive, sales director. But most of that time, a good 15 years of that, I was in the city of London, in a very male-dominated world in the finance industry. And my job was essentially to open new markets. So I was in the city, but I was traveling to Europe. In the latter years, I was traveling to the US. I spent pretty much six weeks. I was on a plane and going to back and forth to New York. So my home was often a hotel room, and I spent the majority of it really focused on being the best, striving, hustling, and making those sales targets. A very, very different world. I look back and I'm a very different person to who I am today. Now, I'm not knocking that, because it's got me to where I've got today. And I think you always need to go through the stages or go through the steps to get to where you want to get to. But certainly back then, I had no idea of who Sonia Morton Firth was. And in fact, the person I thought she'd be is ended up very, very, very different. And I think I was very much molded, as I think many people are, by your parenting, how you brought up, society, school, and everyone telling you should do this or you shouldn't do that. But not only that, I was adapting, and you hinted at that before, Teresa, in a very masculine, male-dominated world.
Interesting, because at the time that you're in that world, and I've been in that world as well, similar background, you don't really think of it like that. You don't actually operate in that world and are consciously aware, or you might be. I suppose it would, of course, depend on your experience, but you're not always aware. That's just how it is. And of course, in a role like that, which is all about the targets, okay, it's all about chasing, it's all about the hit and then the celebration and then the beginning again. It's like this perpetual circle. And I've been there, and I used to think that I loved it. I mean, I did love it. And, you know, like you say, there's especially finance. I mean, I worked in media, but you're in finance. And that's a super male dominated industry. And you add that to sales, which is also females are underrepresented in that as an industry, big time. So I don't imagine there were many other women around you. And if there were other women around you, how did you experience that? Let's unpack a little bit, if you don't mind, that kind of landscape that you're hinting. Let's see what it looked like.
So first of all, it was very male dominated. And without, you know, whatever I say, goes to back in the day. I can't say what it's like now. As I say, I've been out a number of years, but certainly back then, I was probably one of two sales in a team of men. And the other women on our floor were either administrators, so the admin staff, or PAs. So very stereotypical roles for women to be in. As I said, it was myself, there was another woman, we were similar ages, we'd gone to university, done all that, and she was the other, really, the majority of my time, the other salesperson at my level on the team of, I would say, 20 men. So it really was much more male-dominated. Now, funnily enough, I honestly believe to this day that women make better sales people. Now, that again, sounds very stereotyped.
Sorry, guys, I agree.
But all sales is a relation, is building a relationship. And actually, we as women are great at building relationships if we allow ourselves to really flow, and if we really allow ourselves to speak to the other person and relate and empathize with the other person. So although there was a lot of male energy, and there really was, and as you say, Teresa, it was all about hitting targets, and you were only as good as your last year, because they push it back.
Oh, don't say that, you make me taking it back.
That sort of, oh, that dread. But then equally, there is nothing like the thrill of closing a deal and having gone through the negotiations, the talking, all the rest of it, and really hammering home and closing the deal. Now, I think I'd look back and do it a little bit differently these days, because in my latter years, I started really understanding, I think as I was getting older, I was understanding the importance of relationship building and really understanding if you wanted repeat business, which is really where the sort of the key lies, because it's easy business to get in. then it really is about relationship building and holding that relationship. And as I say, I do believe women are better than that, are better at that.
Yes. I totally agree with you. And I, you know, I work to share my skills in sales for all of those years with women now. The thing is, they don't actually believe that because they're coming from a different perspective. Sales is just a big trigger and it has a lot of masculine energy attached to it. And by that, I don't mean in a negative way, but I mean in an action-based initiation way. Think about some of the language that you've used there. You said hammering that deal home, driving that baby home, you know, closing that, overcoming that, negotiating. And all of those, when you understand what they are, you can really lean into that energy and they feel just like amazing. And you're right, it is amazing. But there's many female entrepreneurs, you know, now that don't come from that kind of background, and of course, find that nothing short of terrifying, but for many, many other reasons. But what's interesting is that they often have as well an abundance of, you know, very feminine energy, which doesn't really initiate, which doesn't sell. And so when you come out of an environment like that, you're full of that fire, you know, that male fire that actually gets things done. And I think that is really, really important to have. But also, as you go into business for yourself, and this is what we're going to dig into a little bit more, perhaps realize that this needs a little bit of balancing up.
I absolutely agree. And when I came out of this male-dominated room, as you said, I was all fiery and passionate. And it had been fostered in me. It had been fostered in me by my bosses as well. You know, we were actually told emotions were bad, which nowadays, wow, I don't know if you could get away with saying that, but any sort of showing of emotion was treated as a weakness. You know, the men didn't do that, so why would the women?
No time for that when you got targets, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I remember running into the toilets crying on them, not a number of occasions, but, you know, there was no way anyone was going to see me cry on that sales floor. So it was into the toilets and it was, you know, lock the door and compose yourself. You became somebody else, and that even went down to the way I dressed back then. You know, I was I had literally a wardrobe that was work and then not work, and you could see the differences, the amount of pinstripe trousers, suit,
power clothes,
power jackets, power trousers, you know.
Heels.
I tend to wear more trouser suits, and then it changed just the dress and then the smart jacket. And it was a uniform.
Yes.
It was a particular uniform that you knew you were dressing for success. But you were dressing also to be on the same level as a man, which, you know, we're not. We're not men, we are women. And I think what I realized sort of toward the end is actually just embrace the feminine side as well. But as you say, when I came out, I had this masculine, this control, I want to take action. I want results. And you're suddenly in a world where, you know, I didn't know how to be an entrepreneur. I felt I had it in me. I felt there was something there bubbling up, waiting to get out. But I didn't know how to hone those skills. So I think I came from a very masculine standpoint, which I actually think for entrepreneurs can be quite beneficial. However, it can also be, it could also cause burnout.
Absolutely.
If you don't keep it in check.
It's about the balance, isn't it? It's about balancing. And when we talk about the masculine and the feminine, we're literally not talking gender, although we can assign that in this easy way that we've done. But obviously, you know, men have the feminine energy as well. And so it's interesting, a couple of steps back, what you said about how you would need to process your emotion, that quick run to the loo, do you know what I mean? Compose myself, get with it, Sonia, back out there, right? And it's like, how would the men deal with that? You know, I used to see the men very stressed out, very aggressive. Maybe they would drink, they would be down the pub, go and play sport, maybe they would withdraw. So they might not run to the loo, but they had other strategies, other coping strategies, because they also were not offered the space to lean into how they might be feeling about what's going on in a different way. And so that world just doesn't really allow for it. And I think that's why ultimately men and women get burnt out in it, because that masculine energy in both sexes is just too high, too overriding. And, you know, the masculine energy is the one that is going to drive you to burnout. Work 24/7, achieve, you know, get more awards, earn more money, all of that. And it's really, really important, but there's nothing else allowed. And so when you come in, it's interesting, when you come forward into the entrepreneurial world, it's another game, isn't it? And I remember one time there was a girl that worked with us, and she wasn't particularly professional. Like, she didn't really have the pinstripe suits and the you know, all of that that we're talking about. I remember one day she had these sandals on, flat sandals, like really casual. And we were all talking about these sandals because it just seemed really unprofessional. Like, the judgment that came in there was like, you know, we can't wear those to work. You know, what will people think? And it was awful, really, looking back, but it just didn't seem to fit. It didn't seem to fit with the world. And interestingly, she really struggled with that world. She really struggled with the stepping up and the really making it happen. So you would see, in my experience, a lot of women burn out quicker than the men because of the amount of that kind of energy that was required. And so when, like you say, fast forward again to the entrepreneurial world, what did you discover when you came into that world?
I think the main thing I discovered is if I treated it the same way that I treated the corporate life, I'd burn out very, very quickly. Because in the entrepreneurial world, it can become 24/7 because you don't have the boundaries of getting up and going to work. I mean, some people do have offices to go to, but I was working from home or going to meetings. And so there is no switch off. There isn't that sort of those boundaries. You can work late into the night. You can literally think about your business all night. And quite often you do. And then you get up in the morning and you do it the same. So there isn't those sort of set breaks that you have in corporate life. And if you've got that masculine energy of, I need to see results, you've got to be aware as an entrepreneur that you may not see results for at least 2 years in your business, obviously depending on your business, but quite often or not, the first 2 years you're establishing your business, you're getting all the foundations together, you're getting your product ready. And in our case, it was a women's fashion wear, gym wear. So I had a passion for health and fitness, and I met my business partner, and we launched a brand of women's gym wear. I can say that properly there, women's gym wear. Now, this was at the time when there was only Sweaty Betty on the market. You know, Lululemon wasn't in the UK, and the majority of stores didn't sell gym wear, certainly not fashionable gym wear. Now it's quite flooded and saturated. So we were not only establishing a brand, we were learning about an industry we knew nothing about. And we thought it was going to be about the health and fitness industry. Of course, it wasn't. It was about the fashion industry, which, believe you me, and hats off to any people that are in fashion. It is one of the hardest industries, I would say, to go into, particularly now, obviously, with the high street. We're all coming away from the high street and everything is going online. So it's all about stock control, how much you get produced. For us, it was about what sort of material, all of these things that we were sort of looking into. And it became a mission of how are we getting results? And because I was very sales orientated, I was like, where are we going to, you know, where's the sales coming from? When's the next sale? And it soon took over my life to the side of, wow, I can't even remember when I last went to the gym, which was quite ironic because I'd left the corporate world thinking I would become more conscious about my health and fitness and have more time. Well, we all know that may not be the case for all entrepreneurs, and especially if you're living in your masculine. And it was also about taking stock, counting stock levels, and it became a real mission. Actually, it became a mission of chasing the producers that were producing the gym wear, looking at the stock. I mean, literally, I remember my second bedroom was just stocked full, piled full of leggings and tops and this and that. And before you know it, we were getting wrapped up into everything that I didn't want to happen. I had no life. I mean, I come from this corporate environment hoping I was going to be able to get to the gym and do things that I love doing and leading a much more healthy life. And instead, I got stuck in the 24/7 coming from my masculine hustle, 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 trying to prove something to myself because I wanted to make sure this is a success, however you deem success, and forgetting about me, my needs, who I was. And just literally, it cost me my relationship at the time. It cost me my health. As I say, I wasn't even going to the gym. And it cost me a lot of money. And I woke up one day and thought, wow, I've just given up this corporate career guaranteed money. And I've entered this life of 24/7 hustle, action, trying to get money in, without truly understanding the place that you need to be. So that my point here is, if anyone's setting up a business and looking to set up a business, be really aware of the toll it can take on you. And if you're coming with it with lots of powerful masculine energy, that can be great, channeled in the right way. But if you're not taking the breathing space that is truly required, the time to just sit back, take stock, and lead a more balanced life, then you're going to burn out very quickly.
And this, sadly, of course, is seems to be the pathway in many situations, especially with women that have come from corporate. And it sounds like what you're saying is that you basically created the same world just with a different context. And actually, it could have been a little bit worse.
Well, that was it. And it was a little bit worse because you've got your own money on the line. You know, you're not getting a salary as such. We weren't paying ourselves at the time. It was all our savings, our investments. You've got no sort of security products there. When you're an entrepreneur, it's you and it's down to you and what you produce and your health and everything goes into it. So I would say it can be potentially a lot more dangerous. And I think it was at this time I started looking into the personal growth industry, realizing, is there more to life? There must be more to life. And really trying to discover, well, who is Sonia now? She's not the successful career woman. Who is she?
Those elements of Sonia that are absolutely so powerful to bring forward, but then there's elements that are like, well, okay, let's leave that behind now and develop some new habits. And I think one of the things I started hearing a lot in the online space was about self-care. And I remember thinking to myself, or actually, I don't even think it was a conscious thought. I probably just discarded it because I didn't think that was for me. Because I'd never had it, I'd never done it, I'd never practiced it really in any conscious way, certainly not in the jobs I'd had. There was no space for that. So I didn't really think that applied to me. As I went forward and working and stuff, all that like hustler energy, which is actually like a real sabotage archetype, if you like, as well. The hustler will damage you if you don't get control of it and get imbalanced like that. And, you know, that happened and I started to feel quite, you know, terrible and thinking, well, you know, all I'm doing is working. I'm not actually removing my bum from this seat and great things were happening and all looking good and feeling good. But it's just how you feel, isn't it? So that's the big piece that's missing. And that's what I started to hear. And then, of course, like most times in life, Sonia, and I don't know how you feel about this, it's not until you hit that wall, until you experience it, you go, hold on, there might be something in this for me.
And that's it. You hit that wall. And I did. I hit that wall 2 years after leaving corporate life. And it was a big reality shock. And for me, and, you know, I hadn't explored the personal world, I felt I failed again. And of course, now I look at it very differently. But at the time, I felt like, wow, I've left this successful career. You know, parents, friends are all going, are you nuts? You know, what are you doing, leaving this pension, this, that, the other behind? I'd taken this leap of faith. I'd set up this business. And I suddenly, and I woke up thinking, a period of months, I've got to come out of this. I did come out, and I look back now and think, wow, that was so the right thing to do because it was wrong for me on all different levels. And now I know why. But at the time when I came out, I felt a failure, and I was like, wow, what has this done to me? What should I do next? And I knew I didn't want to go back into corporate life. And so I took some time out to reset. And that's when I started exploring the personal development world. And that's when I started my bodybuilding. I thought, I want to focus myself on my body for a bit now. And I'd seen these great models that were modeling our gym clothes. And I thought, I want to look like that. And it was a challenge to me because at that stage I was 44 and I'd always been a bit body dysmorphic. I didn't like my body. The whole story behind that side. And I just wanted to prove something to myself. So I spent some time with coaches. I studied nutrition. I'd already studied personal training. And yes, after a few months, I basically put myself forward for a physique competition in front of a large crowd, which when I look back now thinking, what was I doing? But I went on and did it again at the O2. So, and there might be a third one in me. But I think you reach stages of life that you can either look back and think, God, this was a real transition stage. And actually, if you look at it in the right way, what did it teach me? You can really, that can catapult you to the next stage of your transformations. I've transformed myself several times. And I liken it to the whole butterfly effect. And it's the more we transform, it's just another layer of the onion, as we know, that's peeling off. And we're going deeper and deeper and deeper and finding out who we truly are or our true purpose or unique gifts, whatever you would like to call it, telos, as some people with the Greek mythologies call it. So it's really, for me, it was so, that experience was a complete benefit to me. It didn't feel it at the time. I look back now and know it meant to happen that way.
Yeah, the learnings are right in the middle of all those hard lessons, aren't they? And I think one of the words you use there is really key, and it's transition. And, you know, transitioning from an employed life, a corporate life, a life that you have been piped into, if you like, with other people's expectations and values, and then moving across and transitioning into, you think, well, this will be great. And I'll be an entrepreneur. And now I have my own business and I have all this freedom. I do exactly what I want all the time. It's going to be amazing. I can look after my kids. I have all this time. And then suddenly, what? There's like all of this stuff to deal with. And as you go through that process as well, you talked about, you know, yourself transforming and the evolution really of us evolving into higher selves, who we've always been meant to be, you know, our biggest potential, however you want to describe it, but certainly moving away from what will then feel like that rigid framework of who we were. And you look back, you think, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. And of course, it's raising that awareness that's so important. And awareness doesn't come just in this beautiful form all the time of butterflies and light. You know, it comes in difficulty and it comes in struggle as well. And so that's why I think the journey, as they say, and that it really is the word, isn't it, Sonia? The journey of an entrepreneur is actually really enjoyable. Got to learn to embrace it, even with all the dark sides, because what I never realized about being an entrepreneur was that there was so much work to be done on self. And you talked about doing the deeper work. Okay, we're talking about masculine and feminine energies today. There's many, many things we haven't touched on, but things will rise up in you when you want more. Things will rise up in you when you want to really go for it. You think, well, that'd be great, I'll just go for it. And then you're like, I don't seem to be able to go for it. What's going on? And then you have to start really digging and looking. And this is why we talk about the blocks and the limiting beliefs and all of those things all of the time, no matter what stage you're at. How have you overcome some of yours? Or what were some of your limiting beliefs, do you think, coming into the new world?
I had all sorts of limiting beliefs. I think that one of the biggest limiting beliefs is, wow, I always believed I was going to be successful, but I didn't know how I really defined success, or how I define success now was very different to back then. So getting down to my limiting self-beliefs, I think were much more around who I was as a person, my relationships. Funnily enough, I had a lot of limiting self-beliefs around that. But I always felt successful in a very masculine sort of a way. And it's funny because in the same light, I also felt a failure, because for me, success was all about achievements and getting results. I attributed that with money. So working hard meant more money. And I guess coming from a sales environment as well, well, there's a direct correlation.
It was true. That's the thing.
Of, you know, it's commission. Yeah, exactly. It was true.
It was true. So at that point,
you're going into this entrepreneur's world of, well, I have to work hard. The harder I work, the more money I'm going to make. And that was the mindset I had. And really, over the past sort of couple of years, particularly now, particularly since sort of the lockdown, COVID, etc., what I've realized is it's not related. What is true success? We all probably look at success in a very different way. And the way I look at it now is I have time. And that for me is the biggest thing that we could ever ask for. Time. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have any time to spend or enjoy it with people that you love, then what's the point? You can't take it with you. You know, you can't stick it in your grave or whatever. You can certainly pass it on. But what we don't have enough of is time, is real quality time and time with people we love. So for me, my definition of success has changed. And in that definition changing, so is how I deal with my business and how I look at things and how I perceive my results. So for me, it's much more about getting joy and doing something that brings me joy and how I can contribute and help other people, rather than just being fixated on this money dollar value. And I think, you know, we've really been preconditioned into this thinking that money equals success. On what, you know, whatever count, money, you know, if you're a billionaire, you're successful. Well, it's proven how many, look at Steve Jobs, people that really are unhappy. That cannot mean success.
No, indeed.
If you're miserable and you're unhappy, then that's not a successful life.
And that's that same thing, isn't it? Of, you know, looking at that driving masculine force that says, earn more, achieve more, have more, earn more, achieve more, have more, and just drive, 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 drive. And, you know, even if you end up with, you know, alcohol dependency, high level addiction, secret addiction, all kinds of things, just keep going because you're successful and you're a billionaire and whatever. And actually, you know, there's a discussion to be had around spiritual wealth and, you know, what that actually means. And that is obviously quite a different way of living, but there are different measures of success. But you often hear it, don't you? People that have hit a huge level of success and then they go, but I just feel the same.
Yes.
I just feel the same.
They're not fulfilled inside. And that's exactly where I was when I was 40, when I woke up and thought, my God, I can actually buy in. I remember in New York going into a gorgeous clothing shop and thought, wow, I can afford anything in here. And I heard my voice say it in my head. I just thought, because I was walking around, wow, Sonia, is this what your life's become? Because I felt there was much more to life, but I didn't know what it was. I'd sort of reached the pinnacle of where I was going to get in my career. And I was deemed successful. But I felt a hole inside me. I felt unfulfilled. And I honestly believe if I were to continue on the vein that I was going, I'd wake up on my deathbed thinking, what was this all for? Is this where it is?
And wouldn't that be the worst thing that anyone could ever do? That's what I feel. And it's interesting, that concept of walking into the store or finding yourself in that position where you can have anything, always believing that when I get to that position, it will be amazing. But then maybe walking into that shop and thinking, well, I can afford anything in here, but I don't actually want anything in here.
And do you know what the other realization? So this is a lovely thing, and we were talking about success. So last week I went to Wimbledon, and I haven't, funny enough, I've lived in London for so long and I've never been to Wimbledon. And I've just had a big birthday, and one of my university friends, and we go back a long way, she treated me. She said, oh, come on, I've got us tickets to Wimbledon. All you need to do is take the day off. Now, of course, I run my own life now. I run my own time frame. And it felt so lovely just to be able to say, well, of course, I'm writing the day off. I'm going to Wimbledon in the middle of the week. And when I was there, I had such a great time. I came away thinking, that's what life's all about. I have the freedom to choose my life. I have the freedom to be able to say, yes, I'm going to go off to Wimbledon and enjoy this and have a great time. I couldn't do that in corporate life. Yeah, I could take the day off and the rest of it, but it would all come with consequences.
At a push.
Yeah, just being able to do something for you at the time you want to do it and feeling like, wow, this is, you know, I can do what I want because it is my life now. It is really my life.
And it's important because, like, money is important. We're not dismissing it in any shape or form here. I certainly don't, because it is incredibly important as an energy. It loves to move about. It's really a big part of our lives. But it's what gives us the freedom. But this is really a conversation about the balance. I mean, come on, who doesn't want to live their best life, right? Who doesn't want to? But it's when you put the I just want to earn the money, that on its own can bring its problems. So it's got to have, from my opinion, it's got to have a path of purpose towards it, because when you're following that, then it starts to just materialize and come as a really lovely byproduct of what you are doing. But getting into that flow is the, you know, it's like the holy grail, and that leads back to the balancing of these energies in life. As we, you know, I believe we're all energy, so it's balancing what can I bring on my drive and my action and my initiation and my selling and my showing up, and how can I balance that with my creativity, my flow, my empathy, my ideas, my rest, my self-love, self-care. And then being aware of how it shows up in the distortions as well, because it's all just balance, you know, the whole yin yang. You know, I mean, I'm a trained holistic therapist as well, and I still love the yin yang elemental ideas and concepts around the human condition. I think that's what we are.
Absolutely. We've got to have the yin and yang. We've got to have the masculine and feminine side. And as you say, it isn't just one thing. It's not just the masculine. It is embracing the feminine. It's putting them both together. So I absolutely agree. We've got to have a balance, and it's finding that balance. And sometimes we are off kilter, and depending on the environment you're in, you may be off kilter. And there are things that you can do to sort of bring that energy back to sort of balance. And that's what now I'm, you know, I really practice that. And even if it means just taking a step back and going, actually, today I'm going to just do something that brings me joy if I'm feeling stressed, or, you know, if you want to shift your vibration levels, that's the greatest or the quickest way to do it. Do something you love doing. Go for a walk. Do something that you feel.
Raise that vibration. And actually, when you've been operating in masculine energy for a very long time, that doesn't seem very, very useful thing to do sometimes. Like, well, I haven't got time to go for a walk. I haven't got time to put my feet on the grass. I haven't got time to sit in the garden and read my favorite book. I don't have time because I'm having to do all these things. So when you come from that, you don't realize that actually that's a very damaging approach. So even just recognizing that and then saying, do you know what? I haven't got time not to. I did a live about that yesterday on my page. I haven't got time not to go for a 90-minute walk every single day.
And it's funny enough, it's the same with meditation. And, you know, I know people have different views, and I meditate. And yeah, I was one of these people. If you told me meditation, certainly in corporate life, I think I would.
I'm so with you there. Like, everybody, let's meditate before the morning meeting. Yeah. Can you imagine?
But funnily enough, and I absolutely believe this, if you're in a place of stress, overwhelm, and not sure what to do next, which quite often you can get into in business, then if you regularly meditate, it's really going to help you with your decision-making process. Because the more you're making big decisions in times of overwhelm and stress, you're not going to be making the right decisions. It's far better doing it from a place of calm, grounded, and where you really feel like you know where you are. And that really comes from regular meditation. And I know people say, yeah, but I can't meditate because I can't empty my mind. You don't need to empty your mind. That's not the reason you meditate. You know, thoughts will come into your mind, and it's just about observing them. So I would encourage everyone to do it, and just a bit like exercise. Doesn't mean you have to go to the gym. Just find a style that works for you, and it could be real walking in nature is a form of meditation. You know, it
is. Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
It's about, I mean, again, the word, you know, these are just words, and it depends what they mean to certain people. So for someone that's not comfortable with the word meditation, they think they've got to be sitting cross-legged and for 2 hours to get any kind of power in their lives. That's just not true. And so they could possibly reframe that to, I'm just going to get a bit of headspace. You know, it's like, it's, I'm a big believer in whatever works for you, whatever works for you. You don't have to adhere to any particular rules or ways, or you must have these daily success habits, because a big part of NLP is modeling. And modeling means when you look at people that are successful, that have achieved what you want to achieve or a form of that, and you think, what do they do that has enabled them to get there? And how did they do it? And then adopting that into your style, your way. So, you know, some people will say, if you haven't got time to meditate for 10 minutes, you need to do it for 2 hours. And I love that concept. But, you know, let's be honest, people, we're not going to do that, are we? We're not.
You have 2 hours, you know, it's
at this point, maybe, or burnout points, busy. Okay, but everyone's got 10 minutes. And I think it really works, like you say, as a daily habit, but find the habits that work for you. There's a lot of conformity. There's a lot of, this is the way you must do it. There's a lot of frameworks and models and structures that are taught and sold. And we all have our own methodologies. But actually, if you think about the yin yang circle, you think about the black and white, and just imagine that you always need to keep that beautiful image of yourself and think, well, where am I leaning dark? Where is there too much light? Because again, too much feminine energy, too much overdoing the self-care and waiting, you know, 5 hours for a nudge from the universe, that's really not going to get you forward. There needs to be an aligned action with that, and maybe just one hour would be enough.
We're back to the book, The Secret, and you know what a great book it was, but the missing component was you have to take action in some form.
Yes, you need the action, and that's the masculine. So we need our masculine energy. But the interesting thing is that our masculine energy trusts our feminine energy. They're like best friends, if you like. So they've got to be aligning well. And the masculine trusts that the feminine will take the time she needs, and it will just, you know, she has an energy and come up with those creative ideas. That comes from the feminine. And then the masculine can just come jump in and go, oh, yeah, let's take the action. And that feels really good. And we've all felt that at that point. We're like, that was so easy. Why didn't I do it 10 years ago or before? That's that beautiful alignment. And so I think, you know, the path to self-discovery is a very interesting one, and everyone's going to discover a different form of self. And like you said earlier, Sonia, I think your journey is like really beautiful to watch. Obviously you transform physically as well, which is amazing, and now you're helping other women to adopt that same approach of transformation. Look at their bodies, aren't you? Look at how they eat and what they do. And so where are you working mostly now, in what zone?
Absolutely, thank you, Teresa. And I love that was so beautiful what you just said about the masculine and feminine energy coming together and complementing each other, and then, likewise the same with the mind and the body. And you know, I spent the majority of my life on one fad diet or another, and trust me, I've tried all of them. Equally with exercise, I was cardio queen, I ran marathons. And then more recently, I've turned to bodybuilding. And again, I think it's all this action mentality. Well, I need to take action. I need to do this. I need to see results. And what I've really understood, and this has come from my coaching and accredited coach as well, is that the mind is the most powerful tool. And if you don't have your mindset in the right place, you that diet is not going to work, that lifestyle change, whatever it is, isn't going to work if this isn't right up here. So what I do is I look at the nutrition, I look at somebody's lifestyle habits, and it's very much a getting to know the individual. I'll ask them to tell me about themselves, I'll look at their food diary and all the rest of it, but it's much more getting into their mind as well, where they are potentially stressed in their life, are they having relationship difficulties. And so I coach them, not just on the nutrition and the exercise, the practical, I would say the more masculine side, the to-dos, the action, but also in mindset. So if they're feeling stressed, you more naturally, you're tired, you're exhausted, you haven't slept well, and you reach for that, for the sugary option or the easy, the quick option that isn't necessarily the right option, or you could binge eat, you know, to take away the stress. So this is all why I look at it. It's much better to look at the mindset behind it.
Absolutely.
And then create a lifestyle from that. So we're not creating some crazy bad diet that isn't going to work. It's really a lifestyle shift.
Because it's not, you know, I mean, I don't know anything about, well, I say I don't know anything, and tinkered here and there, but really nothing. I don't know anything about diets. And, you know, it's a little bit like the analogy of you going into that clothes shop, isn't it? So the person that will think, I just want my body to look like this. When my body looks like that, everything will be amazing. And then when I can go in the shop like that and buy anything, that will be amazing. And so work, you know, following a diet, you know, because you really, it would make sense that you've done the diet and then that's it, you're done, right? So you did the diet, you got to the stage, you're great. But then, of course, that's not the case. And so what's behind that? And I think that's what's really interesting about that kind of work, what you're talking about.
The same with business, you should say the same with business as well, or any goal, or when I get there, I'll be happy.
Be happy now.
You've got to be happy now. You've got to understand
that. Give it a try, crazy concept.
And if you're letting your external rule your happiness, then that's going to stop you wanting.
Yeah, because there's so much in the mindset work, and I do a lot of mindset work, not in the same realm at all as you, but it's still the same thing, how people are thinking about themselves, you know, how, in your case, how women are thinking about their bodies and what they're making that mean and where that comes from. There's so much there, because the diet, the food, the body, it's just a symptom of something else playing out, isn't it?
Exactly.
And this is real female empowerment stuff. And I think it's super exciting. And, you know, it would be great to see some of those images of you at those competitions and what you've achieved as well, like body wise. And we can hear the shifts in your mindset. So where can people find you, Sonia? Where can they connect with you to find out more of the good stuff?
So my website is soniamortonbirth.com. So it's my name's Sonia spelt with a Y. And then my YouTube channel and my podcast is The Sonia Morton Birth Show. You can find me on LinkedIn, Sonia Morton Birth, Facebook and Instagram at The Sonia Morton Birth Show. So my name, basically, if you Google it.
It's easy to find you. And I would recommend any of your listeners to head over and listen to Sonia's show, because she really has had some great guests. I've been binging my way through a few of those, Sonia, and, you know, I've really enjoyed them. So definitely head over to that. And I think, you know, that is a wonderful place to see you in action. But I mean, thank you so much for being a guest and for sharing, you know, a variety of insights there. But I'm sure that people will resonate with that journey from the corporate into the entrepreneurial world, and especially women. And hopefully some of the listeners will be able to resonate, men and women alike, of, you know, what is my energy? Where do I use more of that and less of that? And how has that helped me and not helped me? So getting people thinking, that's the purpose of these podcasts. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Teresa. Well, it's been an absolute honor. It's been lovely being on the other side. Looking forward to having another chat with you on my podcast as well. And I've loved this conversation. I think it's so powerful, the masculine, feminine energy, and how we use that. And like you say, it is all about balance.
It's an important one. So let's do some part 2, 3, 4 and onwards as well. So thank you. And I will speak to you again soon, Sonia.
Thank you, Teresa. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. You can read Coach Magazine for free online every quarter. Just subscribe at coach-magazine.com and receive it direct to your inbox. You can order print copies, book a directory listing, find us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram.